all of us have bent over backwards talking about how brilliant they've been bringing back the NBA to NBC, the theme song, the graphics, the nostalgia. They took 97% of the audience on a ride last night. So I want to clarify for anyone just waking up or anybody on their commute to work who isn't still sure yet if the Knicks had a timeout at the end of this game. They did not. They did not have a timeout. And I think that there were many Knicks fans last night, whether on social media or texting their buddies or calling their friends, who were bitching at Mike Brown for not using a timeout that he didn't have. NBC has one job, and this is not on Noah Eagle. And as much as I love the Eagles, I'm not going out of my way to protect them. I'm calling it like it is. The graphics department, the information people, they have to know. And if you watch closely at the end of this game, Sean, Tiki's out, he'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
If you watch closely, the graphic for timeouts goes from 0 to 1 as C.J. McCollum is missing his 2 free throws. And that's when Noah Eagle and Jamal Crawford, who is half asleep, say, Knicks have a timeout, which then they don't use. They did not have a timeout. Now, where you can criticize Mike Brown is when he used his 2 timeouts.
Correct.
One of which was right after an Atlanta turnover, and the Knicks were in the midst of their offense with about 2:20 to go, and Mike Brown said, nah, we're calling a timeout. Which I understand if you have another timeout.
Right.
So I just want everybody to know, because we're going to bash Mike Brown today. We're going to bash a lot of people today. He can't be bashed for not using a timeout that he literally didn't have.
They didn't have it. Now, here's the next question that I still haven't found answered anyway, because I went to bed head on the pillow going, I can't believe Mike Brown didn't call a timeout. And then, of course, you wake up.
You're one of them.
Right. Well, because immediately, a little late now, Evan, right? We go right to bed. I didn't stay up for the post game. You wake up and you see this happen. And here's what I don't understand. Look, Noah Eagle has a tough job to do, but if we're going to praise him at every turn, where did he look for those timeouts?
The graphic popped it up, and he probably had someone in his ear saying, Knicks have a timeout, Knicks have a timeout. That person should be suspended.
Evan.
Not fired, that's too harsh. Suspended.
I'd love to fire his ass.
Or was it the Garden's fault?
Why was it the Garden's fault?
Because I don't know, Evan, we've all sat there, only no Eagle has to look up, and you see the timeout dots on the big-time scoreboard, and that's where NBC is getting their graphics
Rami,
from.
Rami, you were in the building last night. He is putting the blame on Madison Square Garden. What say you?
No one in the building thought there was a timeout. Everyone knew that.
Okay.
Used both.
All right. So then it's the graphics department. I still got to blame Noah. How about take a peek up to the scoreboard?
No. It's not Noah's fault.
In fact, they announced the PA. The Knicks used their final timeout at 11 seconds.
Come on.
Said it out loud.
How could Noah not take any blame for that?
Why are you killing Noah for it? It's NBC.
Listening.
They put the graphic at one. It's
right,
from
listening.
0 to 1. And by the way, that timeout. So there are 2 timeouts you can use in the final 3 minutes. The one that they did to draw up the three-pointer for Jalen Brunson, which was perfect, and cut it from 4 to 1, is an obvious timeout. No one is criticizing that. The timeout under question is the one that Mike Brown used with about 2.5 minutes
right.
to go, which subsequently left them without a timeout in this final sequence.
And too early, you're in transition. I don't want to kill Noah Eagle, but at the same time, we've praised Noah Eagle for plenty. We've praised NBC, like you said, for plenty. If they're making an announcement in the arena, and there's a big scoreboard above. Look, this ain't an 8 o'clock game in the Big Ten. This is the NBA playoffs at Madison Square Garden.
Jesus.
And I love Noah. I bet you Noah would be the first one to tell you, I screwed that one up. Nobody helped him. Clearly nobody in his ear helped him. A spotter shouldn't help him. If you are the play-by-play voice in Madison Square Garden in an NBA playoff game, I'm sorry, that's the big leagues. You got to know time and situation.
After the game, if you stayed around, and I don't know if every Knick fan did, because when you lose a game like that, some just say, I'm going right to sleep. You don't want to relive it. Here's the explanation on NBC right after the game from Maria Taylor.
We just want to say that the scoreboard showed a timeout that the Knicks did not have on the final play, but due to a data issue, the wrong timeout information was communicated, so that's why you see a timeout on the scorebug.
There was a data issue.
That's now, on NBC, man.
A huge mistake by NBC, but I just wanted to clarify before we begin this discourse on what happened last night. They did not have a timeout. You want to criticize the timeout Mike Brown used with 2.5 minutes to go? Fair game. But they did not have a timeout. Now, let me get to my criticism.
All right.
And this is where I think being on the other side is going to help this discussion. So I don't like the Knicks, right? I think I'm very obvious about that. And the guy who I really dislike is Josh Hart. Now, ask me why. Say, hey, Ev, what makes you dislike Josh Hart? Back in his days in Portland, and certainly his days with the New York Knicks, and this is backed up by data, which I'll provide in a second, there is nobody, not a person, Not Kevin Durant, not Steph Curry, not Kawhi Leonard, not a human being in the NBA better at the one-man fast break on a defensive rebound than Josh Hart. And I'm not just saying that. The data backs it up. He is elite at the one-man fast break. And diehard Knicks fans are probably like, yeah, no, I've seen that. How many times has this guy grabbed a defensive rebound, whether it's off a missed free throw, right, whether it's off just a traditionally missed shot? How many times has Josh Hart gone coast to coast? So when C.J. McCollum, more on him later, choked on those two free throws, including missing the second one, and Josh Hart had that basketball nestle into his hands with 4.5 seconds to go, and I've done the research because I know this guy's kick-ass in the one-man fast break. He's got time, based on the data that has been supplied throughout his NBA career, to go coast to coast. And I can tell you this as someone that fears Josh Hart, as someone that's not rooting for him the way everyone in the audience is. As soon as he gave up the basketball, I felt better. Because the most effective play without a timeout off a C.J. McCollum miss was Josh Hart going coast to coast. You know what wasn't the most effective play?
Dumping it to Bridges.
Letting Mikal Bridges do what he does best. And you know what that is? Avoid contact. Not take it to the basket and settle for, in his words, his spot and his mid-range jumper. That's not the formula for success. So I want to make it clear. There are many other things about this game, including Jalen Brunson's ball hogginess in the fourth quarter, to Karl Anthony Towns disappearing, to Mike Brown's pathetic rotations in the second quarter of this game and even early fourth quarter. And I promise you, we'll get to all of it because it all deserves its blame and what happened in game two. But I'm just telling you, because I haven't heard enough people say it. When the ball is in Josh Hart's hands and you don't have a timeout, as soon as he gives up the basketball, the chances of the Knicks winning the game diminish. That should have been a one-man fast break. He had enough time to do it, and I don't know why it didn't happen. I'm very confused by that.
That also is on Mike Brown, though, Evan. All the data you're bringing up about Josh Hart in that scenario, during one of those free throws or right before the free throws, hey, if this is a miss, Josh, you grab the rebound, take it. This is yours. Like, that's just a simple thing that needs to be uttered to Josh Hart to make him reaware of the situation and reaware that that is their best bet if Jalen Brunson's going to get caught in traffic and not be open for the dish in that spot.
Well, that was the other option, obviously, right, getting it to Jalen Brunson and telling, hey, Captain, go make something happen. You know, even though this was not your best game on a lot of levels, I think we'd all agree, ball in hands, final seconds of a game, you're going to trust Jalen Brunson.
Right. That's your closer. But if he's caught up in traffic and not available, Josh Hart's got to know that.
And if Josh Hart does it, because I was going through the tracking data of Josh, because this has always been something you notice, but then you want the data to back you up. Like, how good is he at the one-man fast break? And the truth is, he's the best in the league. Like, that's not even an exaggeration. He's the best at the league. And from coast to coast, it takes him right around 4 seconds, which is the amount of time they had left. So it would have been close, but there's also that great chance that you draw contact and you get to the free throw line. Like, I think the other thing is, Mikal Bridges, and I don't mean to pick on him, he had two shots in the fourth quarter before that last one, and both were halfway down. Both were threes that felt like they were going down. Mikal Bridges, for whatever reason, and I can't explain it, we've had these theories over the last few months and years when we've talked about it, just doesn't want to draw contact. It's all about getting to his spot and taking a mid-range jumper. And that's not how you want a basketball game like this to end. So it's not only that Josh should have been more aggressive and should have had the ball in his hands. Mikal Bridges, when he had open room to go to the basket and draw contact. He was by Jalen Johnson.
It's not his game. Therefore, it can't be his shot, or the ball cannot find him in that scenario late. It just cannot. You have to be able to take on contact, and you have to be able to at least play the game. Maybe I get fouled. That is how winning basketball is played in the final seconds of a playoff game.
And the other thing that happened, and it happened a lot in the final few minutes, and we've gotten used to this, and I know sometimes it's uncomfortable to take a shot at the guy that's changed this franchise, but Jalen Brunson was not his best.
He was not.
And he was not his best throughout this game. First of all, defensively in game one, I thought Jalen played well. Defensively in game two, he was a sieve. He was a disaster. Offensively, there was way too much hero ball. There was too much ball domination from Jalen Brunson. There wasn't enough Karl Anthony Towns. And we've talked about this a lot throughout the regular season, but now it matters most. We examine the Cat disappearing act and who you blame. Is it Cat not being aggressive enough? Is it Mike Brown? Is it Jalen Brunson? And I thought last night it was a real combination of Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns. because Jalen Brunson basically called his number way too often and wasn't looking to get Cat involved. And the thing about Cat, and I know we repeat this all the time, he isn't aggressive enough in enforcing his will.
No.
And that could have happened in the fourth quarter of this game, and it didn't.
Cat settled for an awful 3-2 with like 4 and change left. That if that goes down, it's a completely different ending as well.
And you know what else about Karl-Anthony Towns? Like, if he's not going to be aggressive, like smartly aggressive, unlike the shot you just mentioned, then why is he on the court? Like, let's just be blunt. Then Mitchell Robinson should play. Like, if Karl-Anthony Towns isn't going to be an offensive force in the final few minutes of games, then cut the Band-Aid off. Just don't play him because he's a waste. He is there for his offense.
Yeah.
He is there for the potential of that two-man game between Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns, which we've seen glimpses of, but we haven't seen enough of. If he's going to be a bystander, and he was a bystander in the fourth quarter of last night's game, then why is he playing?
Yeah.
I hate to be like a jerk about it, but that's just the reality.
He's certainly not playing to get in the way of Kuminga, who had his will every time he wanted to run down into the paint and take advantage. That was the X factor last
Underrated
night.
Star in last night's game was Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah.
Two of the guys that made a big difference in last night's game were two guys that were acquired recently by the Atlanta Hawks. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Jonathan Kuminga and CJ McCollum. And the villain that he's become.
He's not a villain. He's just a great father and a husband.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. We'll analyze what kind of villain CJ McCollum is. But this was the kind of game last night where if you watch the regular season, if you invested a lot of time watching it, the concerns that you have about this team popped up. They just, they reared its ugly head in an unopportune moment. And the other thing was all year long, the Knicks have been the best fourth quarter team in the NBA. And we heard about it. NBC couldn't wait to bring it up.
Yep.
And I'm not ripping them for it. Those are the facts.
They got the data right on that.
The data's right. Like, the Knicks were, during the regular season, the best fourth quarter team in this sport. Probably outside of Oklahoma City. But then again, it doesn't count when they're up by 30 in the fourth quarter. That fourth quarter yesterday, arguably, was the worst fourth quarter the Knicks have played as a team this season. Now, how does that relate to what you saw during the regular season? It doesn't. It doesn't compute. It doesn't make sense. But they allowed a young team, a team that I don't think is as talented as the Knicks, clearly doesn't have the experience of the Knicks, they allowed this young team a breath. And they allowed that throughout this game. They allowed it at the end of this game. And now, while I think most of us stand strong that the Knicks will win this series, I don't think that has changed. I don't think that is being altered by anybody at this radio station. I think Boomer and Gio are still confident. I'm sure Craig will still be confident. As an IBO, I'm still confident.
I am too.
But there was ugliness last night, especially in the conclusion of this game, that just worry you.
Yeah, and Evan, we can go a little further into this. This is also becoming a calling card and a DNA of this Knicks team, which is not being able to put your foot on the throat in the fourth quarter. So while they did that all regular season, how many times are we going to be sitting here in April and May talking about this core of this team having a moment like this where you cannot believe they blew another fourth quarter lead? That is becoming the DNA of the Jalen Brunson Knicks, is when you have a team left for dead, you leave the door wide open and you wake up after the morning going, how the hell did that team come back like that? This is like the third postseason in a row we've experienced something like this. At some point, that is who you are as a team, and that is what makes your path to an NBA Finals that much more difficult when you extend series this way.
The stat that came out last night, and it is misleading, but I'll share it with you anyway.
All right.
The entering last night's game, the Knicks were 53-1 when leading by 10 points or more entering the fourth quarter of a playoff game. Their only other postseason loss with that metric of leading by 10 or more entering the fourth quarter was the 1994 Eastern Conference Finals Game 5 against the Indiana Pacers.
Reggie Miller.
Now, why that's misleading is, what if you enter a fourth quarter up by 2 and then you extend the lead to 10?
That's
it doesn't
crazy.
Count, which includes last year's collapse against Indiana. When you just mentioned that this is a part of the Knicks' DNA, I think the game that obviously jumps out at all of us is how the Indiana series started last year.
Yeah.
It's an all-time collapse in the history of the franchise. And as you remember, when that happened, do you remember Tommy's reaction after they lost that game?
No biggie.
No biggie.
That was his famous no biggie.
No biggie.
No biggie.
By the way, credit to Tommy. I listened to him last night. He officially retired no biggie when it comes to the Knicks.
Did he?
Yeah, he said, I can't do it anymore.
So it is a biggie last
night. No biggie. Yeah, look, it's a biggie in terms of you've allowed them into this series.
Yeah.
It's a biggie in terms of maybe it creates concerns moving forward. But it is not a biggie in terms of losing this series.
No,
it's
not this
series. It's a best of 7 series, and you still feel you're the better team.
This is certainly, I don't think this has an effect on this series. But as we go deeper and further into the playoffs, again, I don't know how in tight games with the, or even not tight games with the Celtics, dare I say the Pistons down the line, how you don't look back on a night like last night and think, yeah, I mean, one of these games that could turn in and change a series versus a better team is lurking around the corner, because this is what this team has done now in past postseason.
They've had some bad postseason losses. Now, they've responded to them, and they're going to get a chance to do that on Thursday. But there's no question. Last night was a bad loss. And here's why it was so bad. We've been on the air for 15 minutes, and we've discussed a few of the things that have contributed to it. The disappearing act of Karl-Anthony Towns, Jalen Brunson's hero ball, yeah. Jalen Brunson's defense, Josh Hart not being the one-man fast break on the defensive rebound after the C.J. McCollum miss.
Mikal Bridges.
The Mikal Bridges thing, the Mike Brown timeout. And yet, we still haven't even addressed maybe the biggest thing that contributed to last night's loss.